You're listening to an audio recording from Brimley Baptist Church. For more resources or to give to this ministry, please visit brimleyworship.com.
Long-standing running joke with the pianist. She was like, I'm not looking at him today, but she looked at me, you know? We got it good here at Brimley Baptist Church. We really do. And I hope, hopefully y'all praise the Lord and keep your heart right, you know, because the devil would do anything he could to try to get in here and really mess up what we have here, what God has given us here, whether through division, strife, contention, envy, jealousy, whatever, you name it, you know, and he's looking for a foothold. And so just keep your heart right with the Lord. Don't forget, keep your heart right with the Lord. And so open your Bibles to Ruth chapter number 4. Ruth chapter number 4. Okay, we got one more week in Ruth. I think it's going to be the quickest book I've ever preached through. Zach's nodding his head. Absolutely. And then we'll be in Matthew for probably a year and a half. So there we go. We're going to be starting that probably the end of November, and we're going to be walking through that. But finishing, we have one more lesson in Ruth here, but making a masterpiece out of a mess. Naomi took her life into her own hands. Making a mess of it. God coming into her life, making a masterpiece out of a mess. And we're looking at today chapter number 4, verses 1 through 11, and we're looking at redeeming the helpless. Redeeming the helpless. There is a great difference in being hopeless and being helpless. There is a great difference in being hopeless and being helpless. Hopeless is without hope in one's life. To be without confidence in something. It's the doctor's report that says it's terminal. You're going to die. It's cancer and it's untreatable. It's the hopelessness and, there is no fix for this relationship. It's done. It's hopeless. Hopeless. Now, helpless is the doctor coming to you telling you you have cancer, but it's treatable. But it's treatable, but it's not treatable in your own hands, in your own power. See, to be helpless does not mean to be hopeless. Naomi was once hopeless until the Lord sent a man named Boaz into their lives. And this man shined a glimmer of hope in the darkest of times. But the truth still remained that both Naomi and Ruth, while they do have hope, they still remain helpless. Their situation will not change without Boaz. So while hope has entered into the situation, their helpless condition is still the same without the help of a man named Boaz. Hebrews chapter number 10. I would challenge you, open your Bibles, turn there with me. We're going to read through these first 10 verses. If you don't have a Bible in the seat back in front of, or seat bottom in front of you, it would read as the same version that I would read from. And it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, it says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things." Remember how I talked about the Old Testament? It's a shadow and a picture of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. It says, "And not the very image of things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the comer thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sin every year." And what he's talking about here is he's talking about the Old Testament animal sacrifices that were required every year to be brought before the priest and to be slaughtered before the priest. That remembrance continually of the sin payment that needed to be paid every single year. Every single year, they had to do the same exact thing for their remembrance or their payment of sin. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Verse 5, wherefore, when he cometh, who's the he there? And yes, this ties back to Hebrews. I'm basically starting in the back and working my way forward. Wherefore he is Jesus, cometh into the world. He saith, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me, an actual living sacrifice, the person of Jesus Christ, and burnt offerings and sacrifice for sins thou hast had no pleasure. See, it was just a primary thing. It was just a temporary thing, those blood of bulls and goats, and it's a picture, a shadow of what is to come. Just like Boaz is a picture of Christ in the New Testament, that Old Testament lamb that was slain year after year after year after year after year after year for the sin atonement of the people was a reminder of Jesus to come, the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. Verse 7, and this is what I'm trying to also get home with us. Then said I, Jesus, right? He's talking, John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Jesus is talking here. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of who? It is written of me. Sometimes we detach Christ from the Old Testament. We detach him from the fact and the realization that this whole book is written to help us understand who Jesus is. And he says in Hebrews, behold, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God, to do thy will. In verse number 8, it says above when he said, and he's referencing Psalms chapter 40, verse number 7. And he says, and when he said sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings for sin, thou wouldest not. He's like, this wasn't God's all-time plan. Neither had his pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will. Not only is the book written of me, he says, I come to do your complete will, to finish God's will. He taketh away the first, right? This is the Old Testament for the New Testament. It's not that the Old Testament is obsolete. It's that there is a better testament. There is a New Testament, Jesus Christ being that one. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by which will we are sanctified. And don't get caught up on that initial word when it says by which will. It's not by our will. That word will there means it's desire, God's desire, his will. This is his will. This is not man's will. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering or the payment or the redemption price. And this is important because we're going to look back in the book of Ruth and we're going to see some of these things. It says, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Did you get that? Once and for all. No need to take another offering for your sin ever again. It's paid once and for all. Let's pray, and we're going to dive into Ruth chapter number 4. Lord, I love you. I pray that you'd please, Lord, open our eyes. I pray that you would help us to see the rich, deep truths that, Lord, are just flourishing in your word. I pray that you would please open our eyes. I pray that you'd be able to receive this truth because it does highlight, Lord, yourself in the Old Testament, but it highlights your love when so many people say it's all law. No, there's so much of your grace and your mercy poured out in the Old Testament, Lord God. And I pray that you would help us to be able to receive it. I pray that it would soften our hearts. I pray that it would bring us to our knees in humble repentance and a humble heart of gratitude to praise you and thank you for the price that you paid for our redemption. Lord, I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So number one, write it down. Number one, the fight for redemption. In Ruth chapter 4, what we're seeing is we are seeing a fight concur for the redemption of Ruth and Naomi. In chapter 3, we see Naomi desiring to help Ruth find rest. In Ruth chapter 3, verse 1, it says, Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" Okay, we've walked through this verse by verse, chapter by chapter. It says, then Ruth, on the advice of her mother-in-law, Naomi, seeks the only man who is able to redeem her life from a hopeless end. This is important. When we come to a place of salvation, Jesus has provided the means for salvation, but we must recognize we need him for salvation, and we must indeed come to him. So Naomi's advice, pointing her to seek rest for her soul, for that redemption process, to seek out Boaz, the only man that was able to give it to her. So she takes the advice. She then seeks after Boaz. Ruth goes to Boaz to ask him to redeem her life and to give her rest under his watch care and to raise up the name of the dead as the law spoke. That inheritance, that the name of the dead never die, that godly heritage. You know, I'll challenge you with this. You know, sometimes we put so much emphasis on what we leave behind for our children and how much wealth. And I'll challenge you with this. In the Old Testament, it was more of a testament to the name of a family that they would leave that land behind as a heritage, as a good heritage, as a remembrance. But today, land is often sold and money is often squandered. But the best thing that we can leave for the generations behind us, for our kids and for those coming behind us, is a generation that, hey, my mom and dad, hey, they loved the Lord. Hey, they weren't perfect, but they sought him. And that is what Jesus Christ gives to us today. And here, that is what Boaz is essentially doing. He's raising up the dead. He's giving Ruth the opportunity to carry on the name of something that she would have never been able to carry on herself. That name of her husband, that continuation. In Boaz's compassion, when Ruth comes to him, remember, Ruth came to him by night, uncovered his feet. This was not in modesty in any way or promiscuity in any way. It was a realization that she humbled herself to Boaz, requesting what only Boaz could do for her. And in Boaz's compassion, he looked on Ruth's helpless condition, willingly, willfully, joyfully consented to do all that is required for her redemption. But he tells her that there is one man that stands in the way. There is one man that stands in the way from me being able to redeem you. There's one man that is closer than I am, who has first rights to your redemption, who has dibs on your life, who has first rights, and I cannot surpass those rights. And so this is where we pick up in chapter 4, verse number 1. Look at it. Then went Boaz unto the gates. He's going to track down the path to redeem. He's going to work out the redemption cost to redeem Ruth. It says, then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake. This kinsman, he's an unnamed kinsman. He's not mentioned by name here, and whom Boaz spake. And he came unto him and said, oh, such a one, turn aside and sit down here. Verse number 2 says, and he turned aside and he sat down, and he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit ye down here. And they sat down. So these are witnesses, okay? And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. Verse number 4, and I thought to advertise thee, or I have to basically give you first right. I have to give you first dibs, and saying, buy it before the inhabitants, buy it before the witnesses that are watching, and before the elders of my people, if thou wilt redeem it. Now, I want you to notice that word redeem is mentioned 8 times in the text. This is what it's about. It's about redemption. It's about buying what had been lost. And so it says, if thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. He's relinquishing his right to the other man. And it says, but if thou wilt not redeem it, if you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it. It's just the two of them. besides thee, and I am after thee. I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. The other man said, I will redeem it. Now I want you to understand, Boaz wanted to redeem it. Boaz wanted to redeem Ruth. He wanted to raise up seed. He wanted to take her to himself. This was a desire, but there was a process that he had to go through for this. Verse number 5 says, then said Boaz, it's more than just land. You have to redeem an individual. It says, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth, the Moabite, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. Boaz's desire to redeem Ruth put, there was a desire, but there was another man standing in the way, that unnamed servant. Remember, behold, I come unto you in the what? The volume of the book, the completion of the book. It is written of me. If Boaz is a shadow of Christ, remember last week I told you to go home and I said, figure out who this unnamed servant is. Check out, study out who is the other man that stands in the way of Boaz from redeeming Ruth. If Boaz is a shadow of Christ, who is the other man standing in the way of Ruth's redemption or our redemption? See, Boaz is a picture of Jesus. He is the one who wants to redeem us. Boaz wants to redeem of Ruth, but there's a man standing in the way. Jesus wants to redeem us. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. There is a desire in the heart of Jesus. The Bible will tell us, for the joy that was set before him, he was willing to pay the price. See, the unknown kinsman, he is a picture of the law. And what this shows us is that the law has first rights over us. Those witnesses, who are they? Those witnesses are the one that testify of the redemption completion, or the paid in full stamp. They are witnesses to that. This would be that great cloud of witnesses that testify to the testimony of Jesus Christ. One very important thing as we look at this that we must not bypass is we must not overlook Boaz yields to the right of the other man. And this is valuable. This is important. He humbles himself. He offers him first rights. To redeem if he can. To redeem if he can. It's very important that we understand he does not dismiss the unknown man. He does not dishonor the unknown man by surpassing him or usurping his position, his place, his authority. He doesn't do that. He comes to him and he offers him the ability to redeem if he can. See, Boaz tells the man to pay the price of her redemption if you can. If you can. This man, being a picture of the law, shows us that the law has first rights over us. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That is the requirement of a just God who gave the law. The Bible tells us that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Bible also tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, in each and every single one of our lives in this room, the law has preeminence. It has first dibs on our life. Because for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Here we must understand, and that is the law speaking, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Thus, the law has first dibs in our life. Just like this unknown man had first dibs to redeem Ruth and Naomi. See, we are born under the law, so we are subject to pay the price that the law requires if we desire redemption for ourselves. Please understand that. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. This was the price for us to redeem ourselves out of the hand of the law. Just like Naomi and Ruth could not redeem themselves from the hand of this unnamed man, we too cannot redeem ourselves from out underneath the law. We cannot pay the price. Galatians chapter 3:10 says, "For as many as are the works of the law, for as many as are of the work of the law are under the curse." We're under the curse, the law. We're under the curse, that sin. "For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth in all things which are written in this book. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law." So the person that does not continue to obey the book of the law, the Bible says, "But to that man," it says, "written in the book of the law, to do them, but that no man is justified by the law of God in his sight." It goes on to say, let's keep reading, "The price the law requires for redemption when a person sins is death. And we are born under the law." Deuteronomy 24:16 says, "The father shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the father, but every man shall be put to death for his own sin, says the law." Says the law. Jeremiah 31:30 says, "But every one shall die for his own iniquities." This is the man that has first dibs over our life. So we see a fight for redemption happening in the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth actually happened. There was really a man named Boaz. There was really a lady named Ruth. There was also a lady named Naomi. But yet there was also this unnamed man. It was real, but yet it's also just a shadow of things to come, of the fight that is happening currently for our redemption. So we see the fight for redemption. There's a price to be paid. Boaz yields himself to that other man and says, "Redeem her if you can." But then I want you to notice number two, the price for redemption. The price for redemption. Look at verse number 6. "And the kinsman," in Ruth chapter 4, "and the kinsman said, I cannot," and I want you to notice that word, "I cannot," what's the next word? "Redeem it." I cannot. It's almost even if I wanted to, I cannot. And that's mentioned also again. It says, "And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it." So what's happening here now, this unknown, unnamed man offers Boaz the right to now redeem it. This man says twice, "I cannot redeem it. I cannot redeem it." And then also, it would mar my inheritance even if I tried. Even if I tried. I cannot. And so now the ball is back in Boaz's court. He now, in verse number 7, let's look at it. It says, "Lest I mar my own inheritance, redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it." Verse number 7, "Now this was the manner in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing for things, to confirm all things. A man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel." Now what we're reading here is basically the tradition of how they confirmed a transaction of this caliber. There would literally be a taking off of a shoe, and it would be given to the other man as confirmation and testimony and witness. Verse number 8 says, "Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee." I want you to notice what Boaz does here. So he drew off his shoe. You know, my mind immediately goes to Genesis chapter 3. You know, when you walk around with no shoes on, what's vulnerable? Your feet. Anybody want to take a gander at what Genesis chapter 3 talks about? in the redemption process. It says, hey, I'm going to give the seed, and the seed is going to bruise the serpent's head, but what's going to happen to his heel? He's going to be bit by that serpent, that vulnerable place. Go back and read it. Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. And I'm not going to go to bat that it automatically goes there, but it does kind of paint a picture of the vulnerability of Boaz as he takes off his shoe, as he gives it to this man in testament to his desire to redeem Ruth. When the unnamed man heard that he would have to redeem Ruth the Moabite, he said to Boaz, I cannot redeem it. And he tells Boaz to redeem it for himself, redeem her for himself. The law can only bring about, and I want you to think about this, if that man is a picture of the law does not redeem us. Too many of us in the religious world today think that we are saved by living the measure of the law. You cannot live the measure of the law. There is none righteous, no, not one. See, God in his wonderful omnipotence is painting a beautiful picture of us, of salvation in the Old Testament. See, the law can only bring about restitution for sin, a price that must be paid. The law can only bring about restitution for sin, not redemption from sin. See, this man could not redeem Naomi, just like the law cannot redeem us today. It's not that the man did not want to redeem her. It was that he could not redeem her. He could not redeem her. Just like the unnamed man could not redeem Naomi because it would mar his inheritance, the law cannot redeem us from the price of sin. It can only enact the cost of sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. For all have sinned, every single one of us in this room. The wages of sin is death. All that the law can do is enact the cost. That's all it can do. It cannot offer redemption, but restitution. Romans 8:3 says this well when it says, for what the law could not do. It could not. See, the law wasn't given for us to measure up to. The law was given to us to identify our need for redemption. That was the issue with the Pharisees. They tried to look better than everybody else, thinking that it was living to the measure of the law, while on the outside they looked perfect to everybody else. But Jesus saw them on the inside, and he said, you know what? You're a bunch of hypocrites. He's like, on the outside you look pretty good, but on the inside you're full of dead men's bones. You need redemption. Here in Romans chapter 8, verse 3, it says, for what the law could not do. The law cannot save you. We all agree with that. The law cannot save us in that it was weak. See, there's nothing wrong with the law. God's law is perfect. God's law is a testament of God's standard for righteous living. See, it's not that there's anything wrong with the law. It's that there's something wrong with our flesh. The Bible tells us in James chapter 1, it says, for the, God tempteth no man, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust hath conceived within our heart, it bringeth forth death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Romans chapter 3, verse 20 says, therefore the deeds of the law, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. The scripture clearly tells us that no man is going to be able to stand before Jesus and say, I am righteous. I have lived up to the 10 commandments. Even if we're just talking 10, or let's break it down to 2. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and spirit, and love your neighbor as yourself. We can't even do 2. No man is justified by the works of the flesh, the Bible tells us, in his sight. For by the law is knowledge of sin. The law reminds us of our indebtedness and our sin of our past. The word redemption is mentioned 8 times. To redeem something is to buy it back. The law could not pay the price required for our redemption. It could not. It would not. But this is where Boaz comes into place. But Boaz, our Jesus, steps in to pay the cost of redemption. Romans 8:3, the rest of that wonderful verse that reminds us, for what the law could not do and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Basically, conquering sin. He condemned sin. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of his law. If you're sitting here today and you feel self-justified before God, can I say to you today, you are not justified. You are not saved. You are not washed clean. Because we're going to see, I want you to understand that in this portion of Scripture, Ruth is nowhere to be found in the redemption process. Her voice is not mentioned once. Her efforts are not mentioned once. It's all Boaz. Just like our salvation, it rests solely on Jesus. It does not rest on anything that we can do to ourselves. Not our church attendance, not our church giving, not even trying to do good, because there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Any good that we do is from him. Knowing that the man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus that we might be justified by faith. Justified is being able to stand before God spotless, without cost, without debt. Where the wages of sin is debt. Debt, death. The wages, debt. There's a debt to be paid. I got that up, mixed up a little bit. But even we have believed in Jesus that it might be justified by faith of Christ. That we might be justified. And not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, once again, shall no flesh be justified. Hebrews 7:19. I love this. For the law made nothing perfect. See, the Pharisees, man, they were trying to make themselves perfect. So that way they could get the credit. Look at me. Look how righteous I am. Look how I carry my Bible on Sunday morning. Look how perfect I am. Look, and that was their goal. To magnify themselves. Not Christ. But the person that depends solely on the Lord Jesus Christ for their redemption, they're not worried about what people think about him. They're just worried about what people think about him. They're not afraid to hide where God redeemed them from, because it makes him look good. While, yes, it might make them look bad, it highlights his goodness. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. See, Boaz was that better hope. Jesus is that better hope. By the which we draw nigh unto God. See, we draw nigh to God out of love. Ruth drew nigh to to Boaz out of love, out of desire. She saw his kindness and his compassion and his tender mercies as he responded to her, a outsider, a widow, as he dropped handfuls of purpose in her life to get her to see his goodness. We would die under the law, just like Ruth. And Naomi would have died without redemption if Boaz had not stepped in to pay the price. Romans chapter 10, verse 4 says, for Christ is the end of the law. See, salvation starts where the law ends. Salvation doesn't come in the law. It comes at the end of the law. Jesus, the one who paid the price the law demanded. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Jesus did not come to dismiss, and I want you to think about this. Jesus did not come to dismiss or destroy the law. Remember how I told you Boaz gave honor to the other man and respected his position and his right? Jesus did not come to destroy the law who had first rights over our lives, but to satisfy his request and payment for redemption. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law. No, the law is so important. He says, I'm not come to destroy the law or the prophets. He said, I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth shall pass away, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. He said, I came to do what nobody else could do. I came to pay the price that nobody else could pay. Boaz stood in the place for Ruth, paying and willing to pay a price no other man could pay, no other man had rights to, but Boaz. Boaz and his desire to pay the price for Ruth's redemption is a shadow of Jesus and his desire to pay the ultimate price for our redemption by laying down his life. See, while Boaz paid in gold for Ruth's redemption, Jesus paid in blood for mine and for yours. See, we get it wrong. We really do. See, we're not perfect in and of ourselves. We will fight every day to push the flesh by yielding to the Spirit. But we're already made perfect by Jesus Christ. See, you don't have to work to be a better Christian. You just got to rest in the Christian. You got to rest in the presence of Jesus Christ and the rest that he's given to you. Sometimes we try to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and we try to be better, but yet, you know, the one thing that often lacks in a Christian life and the main reason that he usually falls is because he doesn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He doesn't have that perfect time, you know, that place where he goes and he humbles himself and he acknowledges the pride within his own heart, which is the origin of all sin. See, we see the fight for redemption. We see the price for redemption, but then we see the comfort in her redemption. The comfort. Look at verse number 9. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day. There is a great cloud of witnesses that stand in heaven to testify the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world and all the work that he has done for you and that he has done for me. See, what Jesus did on the cross is not in question. Just like what Boaz did here when it says, and our witnesses this day, your witnesses, that's the first time witnesses are mentioned. I want you to notice, because there's a perfect number of witnesses that are mentioned. It says, that I have bought all. And I want you to notice that phrase, bought all. Not some, not a portion, not a half, but all. That was Elimelech's, and that was Chilion's, and that was Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabite, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased for myself. And please understand, this is not that she is a piece of meat that's being purchased. This is her understanding that Boaz is the only one that can buy her from the place that she is at. That's why in Corinthians, the Bible says, behold, you're not your own, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. And what a beautiful redemption it is. Because if Boaz had not stepped into her life, Ruth would have no hope. He says, I have bought all. I have purchased to be my wife. Remember, Ruth is a picture of the Gentiles. Naomi, a picture of the Jews. We are the church, the bride of Christ. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing to raise up the name of the dead upon the inheritance. You know, when we go and share the gospel, life is given. People's lives are transformed. There's hope for that next generation and the next generation to come. To raise up the name of the dead upon the inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren. You know, the name of the dead that we magnify is the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's not dead. He's risen from the dead. He is eternally risen from the dead and from the gates, his place. And then notice, once again, ye are witnesses this day. Number 2, ye are witnesses this day. Look at verse number 11. And all the people that were in the gates and the elders said, we are witnesses. The very third time, Ruth was no longer bound to the first man. All his rights were terminated when Boaz bought Ruth for himself. Please understand, you know, the biggest problem in the Galatian church, why Paul corrected them so harshly, is because they thought they were saved by Jesus Christ, but then they thought they had to live a life through the power of the law, through the power of their flesh. See, you know what? Ruth could take great rest in the fact that Boaz, she no longer had to worry about this other man. He had no rights in her life. None whatsoever. When Jesus paid the cost of our redemption in his own blood, the law has no more rights over us. Yes, the soul that sinneth, it shall still die to this day. And if you've put your faith in Jesus, that soul has died right here. It's the person that has not put their faith in Jesus. That's the soul that will die. See, when I put my faith in Jesus Christ, He paid my debt. He died in my place. It's so important that you understand. Ruth, read it and reread it, but Ruth has no portion. Don't worry about it, guys. I'm not worried about it. Ruth has no portion of her redemption in the power of her own hands. It's all in Boaz's. Just like your redemption is holy, and if it's not holy in Jesus, then can I challenge you today and say, you are not saved. You are not redeemed. And I don't mean that to cause you to doubt your salvation. I mean that to cause you to validate, hey, what am I trusting in for my redemption, for my salvation? When Boaz paid the price, I want you to notice the statement that's made. He paid it all. He bought it all. He didn't buy half of it, some of it, a portion of it. He paid it all. He paid it all. So many Christians think that God bought their past sins and paid for their past sins, but now they have to live better in the future. No, when God bought you, He bought all your sins. He covered all your sins, every single one. Do you realize tomorrow when you mess up, God said, I knew it. I knew it. And I paid for it. And when you walk with the Lord and you understand that mindset, it makes you humble because you realize He knew and He did it anyway. He knew and He died for you anyway. And when you have that and you realize that, man, it's like you don't want to do it again. You don't want to mess up again. You don't want to. And yes, we wrestle, right, against the desires of the flesh and the desires of the spirit. And there's battles. And sometimes we lose those battles. But you know what? The Bible says a just man falls 7 times and rises up again. There's a desire not to live in the vomit of where you're at, but to rise up and say, you know what? I think about what God said to Abraham. Be holy, for I am holy. Abraham desired that. See, here, everything was paid for by Boaz. And for you today, everything is paid for. Past, present, and future. He paid for them all of your sins, if you trust Him. We no longer have to try to be good enough. We can rest in His goodness. I know that I'm going to heaven when I die. And it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with Him. Can you say the same thing? Can you say of assurance, I know where I'm going when I die? Can you grab and hold of that truth and say the same thing, that you're resting in His goodness? Ruth no longer had to fend for herself. She could take comfort and rest in all that Boaz did for her. Ruth now belonged to Boaz, and no one could refute it. Remember those 3 times that the witness was mentioned? Witness, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, as well as a great multitude of witnesses in heaven. Our salvation and the fact that Jesus died and rose from the grave, hey, there's no one that can refute it. Not even the devil himself. All he can do is go before the throne and try to throw accusations and try to throw slander. And God's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Hey, I say, Billy, all these years ago. I don't know what you're talking about. But it's irrefutable, the salvation and the redemption that Ruth possessed. Do you have that redemption? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. You know, today, there's not a ton of action points here, but there's a whole lot of self-reflection here. Self-reflection on your own soul. You know, I pray all the time because I think about how many people Jesus preached to. And I think about John chapter 6 when Jesus said, I am the bread of life. You must eat my flesh and drink my blood. And how many people said that's a hard saying and they turned away and they walked away from them because their eyes weren't beholden to be able to see it. And I wonder if there's someone in this church right now that says, you know, I just can't see it, and your eyes are beholden and you're missing it. And you're thinking that you have to do something in yourself. Don't be like them that turned away from the Lord. Be like Peter who says, Jesus says, will you turn away also from me? He says, I can't. He says, you have the words of eternal life. He says, where can I go? And you know what Jesus said? Flesh and blood has not revealed this to thee, but the Son of Man, or the Spirit has, the Father has revealed it to you. You know, today, it's taking a hard look at your soul and what you claim to be your salvation and what you're really, truly trusting in for your salvation. You said, does that mean we don't live and try to live a good life? No, absolutely. But you know what? We can live a higher standard than the law because we're living it, because we're already saved by Jesus. I don't work for my salvation. I work in my salvation. There's a huge difference. You know, when Jesus says he gives us the law, when Jesus came, the law said, don't commit adultery with a woman. But he says, if you look on a woman and lust after her in your heart, you've committed adultery in your heart. He says, don't kill your brother. But he says, if you have hatred in your heart or animosity in your heart toward your brother, it's as if you killed him. Jesus gives us the ability to live the heart, a higher standard on the inside than the law requires on the outside. But it's not for our salvation. It's because of our salvation that he's given to us. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, my wife's going to come and sit at the piano. With such a message today, you must absolutely examine your own heart. And you say, how can I examine my heart? Paul says, examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. Acknowledge in your heart right now, if pride has crept in to say to you, you're a good person. Or that you can get to heaven apart from Jesus. Or you have to bring anything to the table of salvation. It's not 99% Jesus and 1% you. It's faith alone in Christ alone. That thief on the cross had lived a pretty wicked life. But he came to the place where he acknowledged and he said, Lord, remember me in thy kingdom. That man could do nothing. And you know what Jesus said? This day, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Please, Christian or individual here today that says you're a Christian, evaluate your heart and take confidence in. Maybe you're a Christian here today, and as you're praying in right now, asking the Holy Spirit, asking the Lord to make it clear, to reveal pride in your heart, maybe today the Lord's going to give you some real peace and confirmation so that when you lay your head down, there's no more doubting. Well, what if I mess up tomorrow? The Lord knew. And maybe you walk away today encouraged in confidence, never to question your salvation or your redemption price or Jesus ever again. But maybe you're here today and there's been something else you've been trusting in. Maybe secretly in the depths of your heart where only Jesus could see, he could see a heart that has self-dependence within it. And maybe right here and right now you're confronted with that self-dependence. I must have a part in it. I have to do something in it. If you're willing right now to confess to the Lord that you can't have any part in it because it's not good enough. If you're willing to humble yourself to the Lord right here, right now, and confess your own self-dependence, the Lord says, hey, I will redeem you. But you gotta take your hands off of it because you can't do anything to redeem yourself. If you're here today and you've never put your faith alone in Christ alone, let today be the day, right here, right now, where you cry out, Lord Jesus, I believe that you paid it all for me. I believe you bought all my sins and you covered them under the blood and you bought me to be your own. I believe that you rose from the grave and shed your blood for me on the cross died in that tomb, rose from the grave. Lord Jesus, redeem me. Lord Jesus, save me. Right here and right now. But you know, I think for both groups, whether you're praying that in or confirming that for yourself, hey, listen, take confidence. Live the life He wants you to live. He loves you. He wants you to live the victorious Christian life. You know, Boaz gave Ruth a whole nother life that was so much better than the one she could get on her own. Whose life are you living? Are you living your life and it's miserable? Are you living His life and it's glorious and it's victorious? Do you find yourself just always just burdened down, weighed down, frustrated with life because you're just trying to live your life and chase your dream? You can still be redeemed by the Lord and live your way. I don't know how God spoke to you today, but pray it in. As the worship team comes, let's pray. Father, I love You, and Lord, I thank You for such a powerful truth in a picture of a shadow of the Old Testament, where while we don't see the whole picture in the sense of we can't see the fine details, we do see a complete picture. Just like with the shedding of the blood of bulls and goats, while we see a shadow, we don't see every detail, but we do see a picture of redemption through that blood. Lord, I pray that Your Son would be exalted today, and that, Lord, Your Christians would be encouraged and confident in the salvation, purchased possession, Lord, but taking courage and going out and living the life that You want them to live. But Lord, if there was someone here today that acknowledged and confessed, Lord, a self-righteousness within themselves, Lord, humbling themselves to You, Lord, I praise You and thank You for the salvation that You've given to them and that You've ushered in for them in their life. Lord, I pray that You would do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think in our lives. Lord, we love You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand.
If you would like more information about today's sermon or how to become a follower of Jesus Christ, please visit the Contact Us page at brimleyworship.com.